Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the
Hello, listeners. Heidi Dietrich here with the Diet Rich Life, Life Mastery for Health, Wealth, Love, and Happiness. I am fired up to have Sam Crowley on the line with me today. And Sam, are you there with us?
I'm here, Heidi.
Oh, my gosh. This is so exciting for me. Guys, Sam Crowley's a speaker, author, trainer, podcast host, and serial entrepreneur. And Sam's motivational podcast, Every Day is Saturday, is heard in over 100 countries, has millions of downloads since he went live in 2006, 10 years ago. That's crazy, Sam. He's way Woo-hoo. Ahead of his time. Every Day is Saturday podcast, you're the longest running motivational podcast on iTunes with over 100,000 monthly downloads. Is that right?
Preach it, Heidi. Keep preaching. I love
that
it.
That is unbelievable. Guys, Sam left his Fortune 100 job many years ago because his daughter, Madeline, used to ask him, "Daddy, is tomorrow Saturday?" And he made a promise to his daughter that someday soon, every day would be Saturday. And Sam now lives his life completely unscripted, and he shares his findings with thousands through his daily motivational podcast, and he now trains thousands of eager speakers and podcasters globally, like myself. Sam's new book, titled One More Breath, was just published this year, and the book chronicles the journey of his daughter, Susan, born at just 1 pound. Yeah, you heard that right, 1 pound, in August 2014, and how Susan has defied all odds to be home with her family after 221 days in Children's Hospital. Sam lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, with his beautiful, angelic wife, Angela, the perfect name for her, Sam, and her 4 daughters. So, Sam, I am fired up to have you on.
Hey, it's great to be here, Heidi.
Yeah, I just, as I'm reading that, I'm like, wow, 10 years. 10 years you've had Every Day is Saturday. How does it feel to hear that?
You know, it's awesome. I just got started, like you said, because I didn't know what I was. I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I quit my job and I bought a Quiznos franchise kind of before I quit, thinking that would be a lot of fun to make subs and make some money. And I went broke fast. I mean, super fast. Probably the fastest broke person ever. And then went back to my job and just kind of sat around. Didn't get my old job back. They gave me just some cubicle little thing to hang out, get some health insurance. And so I started podcasting, and nobody even knew what it was. You know, but we're talking 10 years ago. I mean, a lot of people, half the people on the internet still don't know what a podcast is. But back then, nobody knew. So I would just,
right.
It was free. Great way to get a message out. What we're doing right now, Blog Talk Radio wasn't around, you know, and podcasting has just started. And so I just started yelling into a microphone, and it kind of caught fire a little bit. And here we are 10 years later. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun to be able to yell into a microphone.
And what was it that gave you the inspiration, the mindset to believe that you could do it?
Yeah, I think sometimes the more, you know, the less we think about something and all of what can go wrong, the better off we are. Because had I really thought it through, which I don't think anything through ever, which is good and not so good sometimes. But, you know, when you got the ready, fire, aim mentality and you just say, hey, it feels right. I want to do this. I don't want to live a life full of regrets. I want to lead a life of significance. I mean, I just did not want to stay in a job. I mean, the thought of having a job just, and it's crazy because the job I had was a good job. I mean, it sounds like an oxymoron having a good job, especially in the U.S. where most people hate their job. And I just didn't want to, you know, I was making $100,000. I had stock options, a company car, all that good stuff. And I had just worked my way up the corporate ladder. I mean, I just started as some grunt on the telephone, and then I worked my way up to running a $90 million division over 15 years. And the more I got, I'll tell you what, Heidi, the further I went up the corporate ladder, the more I realized the person that I had to become. And I just didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to work 80 hours a week and get a couple weeks vacation and have all the pressure, the BlackBerry follow me around all weekend with emails I had to respond to and all that. I guess I wanted control. So what gave me the inspiration was just my family, knowing that I wanted to be a dad. You know, my dad left my mom when I was 3 months old and to raise 8 kids by herself. And I thought, you know, that definitely doesn't need to happen in the Crowley family. So it's funny, even though I was married, I never saw my family. I mean, I was always away, so it's not like I have that going right for me either. So the inspiration really came from the question that I asked was, is the pain of moving forward with, you know, launching Every Day is Saturday, going for my dream, being an entrepreneur, all of that, is the pain of doing that greater or less than the pain of just staying where I am or going back to where I used to be? And I just felt that the pain of moving forward was going to be less, and I was right. It was. Now, it wasn't easy, you know. I mean, this isn't easy. This isn't easy putting all this stuff together like what we're doing right now. It's pretty simple. The good news is people have actually laid the framework of this stuff. But, you know, there's going to be some struggle. There's going to be some moments where you second-guess yourself and say, is this what it's all cracked up to be? I think there's just a big lie out there that you just start an internet business and you can make $1 million your first year. That's not true. It's not even close to that. But what you do get is you get control of your life back, and I think that's invaluable. I think that's worth more than $1 million. So that's inspirational, Heidi. I mean, what you're able to do right now, I mean, you know, middle of the afternoon, record a show, that's inspirational, right?
Right, right on. Absolutely.
Yeah. You got control.
And Sam, you were part of that inspiration for me, you know, because I first saw you speak live 10 years ago. And I want you to talk about this a little bit, because the next time I saw you speak live, or most recently, was 3 years ago. So 7 mm-hmm. years after that. And I just learned at that time, 3 years ago, that the time I saw you speak 10 years ago was, and by the way, you blew me away. I just, you know, I'm like, what's this guy doing? I'm going to follow him. I want to, you know, learn what he's
right.
teaching and preaching. And I learned that that was your first time speaking on stage. Now,
yep.
I never would have known that. That the story I heard you tell 3 years ago was just like had me on the edge of my seat. And so I'd like for you to share a little bit of that with the listeners in that you had this mindset, this belief that you were, I mean, what did you tell yourself? I'm the number one motivational speaker. There was something you told yourself, and you were telling your wife, and you were driving her crazy, and you were turning
yeah.
people off at work, and they thought you were crazy, right? Like, can you share a little bit about that with us?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Only to correct the story just slightly, it was 8 years ago. It was Hawaii in 2008 when I
okay.
spoke at that event. But it was an amazing time because it was here's how the story goes. The story goes like this. I was doing my podcast. It was the summer of 2008. And I was, you know, I still was trying to just make my way navigating around this industry of speaker, trainer, seminar leader. And what's funny is I was promoting myself as an international motivational speaker, which was, you know, you got to own who you are. You got to kind of know where it is you're going, you know. And it wasn't like I was telling a falsehood. I am. I mean, that's who I was. That's why I had the podcast that was downloaded all around the world, and that was starting to get a lot of downloads. And one of the people that downloaded my show, just by happenstance, I was driving around Cincinnati one day, and I pulled over. I had paid our lawn care bill, and this was like June of 2008. And I drove a little bit up the road from the offices, and I parked at this corporate office park, and I just recorded a podcast, about 15 minutes, but I was all fired up. I mean, I was just, like, full of just energy. You know, I'm like, I always brought my laptop with me because I didn't have a studio, so wherever I had my laptop, the built-in microphone, I would just stop, record a message for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, upload it to iTunes, and just keep going with my day. So it was like an 85-degree day outside of Cincinnati, and I pulled over in this corporate office park, and I recorded a podcast about the traffic. Just everybody was driving slow. They're all distracted. They're all on their crackberries, going nowhere. They got to get there quick. They don't even know where the hell they're going. And so I uploaded it to iTunes, and it was literally just a rant. And a week later, I get a phone call from an individual who listened to that particular podcast and wanted to hire me to speak at an event in Hawaii. And it was a $25,000 keynote fee. And they were going to speak to 1,000 or 1,200 or so entrepreneurs. You were in the audience at that time. Now, obviously, we had never met, didn't know you or anybody that was going to be at the event. But they said, can you come? And I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm available. It was like a month later. And I went to that event, and this is funny because my wife's like, oh, my God, what are you going to talk about for 4 hours? I said, Ange, this is it, my wife Angela. By the way, she's been on this roller coaster ride with me for 20 years. It's just ridiculous. Looking at it from her vantage point, I can't even imagine what it looks like. It's got to just be a freak show. And so she goes, what are you going to talk about for 4 hours? I go, I don't know, but it's going to be great. I can't wait. So I got to Hawaii, and I was never afraid. I was never intimidated by the scene because when you know where it is you want to go and what you want to do, when you finally get the stage, and that's just a metaphor, the big stage for you, Heidi, it can be whatever it is that you want it to be. For anybody listening, what is your big stage? Like, what's your moment? What's your message? Because you're going to get your first chance, your first opportunity. You're going to get that chance. And you got to be ready to own the moment. You just got to be that person. And it's not difficult to do when you know what it is that you absolutely are meant to do with your life, your purpose in life. And so here's the funny part of it, though. I got to Hawaii, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm in freaking Hawaii. Holy cow. This isn't Cincinnati even close. I've never even been to Hawaii. And it was a 10-hour flight from Atlanta to get there. I'm like, damn, is this plane going to stay in the air this long? I'd never even flown that far. So we get to Hawaii, and I'm all jacked up. I mean, I get off the plane. I remember I got there, and it was midnight, which was, you know, 5 in the morning Cincinnati time. So I was wiped out. So I crashed in the hotel, got up the next day, kind of made my way to the pool around 10 in the morning or so. And I'm sitting there, and the people are now starting to arrive for this event. And I'm still on cloud nine, and I'm like, I'm owning it. I'm going to own it. And the ladies in front of me were at the pool, and they're looking through the program for the event that I was speaking at with another gentleman named Lee Brower from The Secret. Do you remember that guy, Lee Brower, when he spoke?
Yep.
He was awesome. So much more intelligent than I am. And that's what I told people the next day. I said, hey, good news, you won't be nearly as challenged intellectually as you were yesterday, all right, because Lee spoke the first day. So the people are going through the program, and they're like, oh, wow, Lee Brower from The Secret speaking the first day. Yeah, the guy with the gratitude rocks, and oh, this is going to be awesome. He was in The Secret. Ooh, Lee Brower, wow. And then they go, Sam Crowley. Who the hell is Sam Crowley? And I was listening to this conversation going on right in front of me at the pool, and I slowly sunk down into my chair and put my baseball hat way down, like, over my eyes. And I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, my God. This is it. I got 1,000 people that are going to say, who the hell was Sam Crowley tomorrow? What am I going to do? I don't even know what to do. And so that kind of shook me up a little bit. And I wish I wouldn't have heard that conversation, but I did. And it got me even more fired up. So I didn't even sleep for 2 nights. Worked on my presentation. And then when I got on the stage, I just said, hold it. I'm going to own it. I'm going nuts. I'm letting everything out in the next 4 hours, and I'm leaving nothing left. Energy, emotion, training, slides, whatever it is, man. It's going to be a party and a celebration of entrepreneurship. And it was amazing. At the end of that event, I don't know if you remember, I had to be escorted out through the kitchen because I couldn't even go out through the regular doors. It was an absolute mob scene. It was amazing. And then the rest of the time, we had a luau. Did you go to that luau, Heidi?
No.
There was a party that night, and I was there, and it was amazing, man. It was just everybody celebrating the speech, the presentation, the event, time, Hawaii, everything. And it was awesome. And my wife was on pins and needles. I actually forgot to call her and tell her how it went until, like, later that day. And she's like, oh, my God, are you dead? Did you bomb? What's going on? Did they love it? I was like, oh, my God, Andrew. It was everything. It was every day. So that's what happens when you meet your moment, man, your passion, your purpose in life, and what it is you're supposed to do. Just step into it. That was an amazing time, though.
That's awesome. I part of that, like going into it, right? How did you overcome all the talk around you? Because I hear, you know, there's a lot of people who are listening, who are maybe they're in that place of juggling a job and they're trying to make a go of a business at home. And so from my understanding, you had some negativity around you, or you had to overcome people believing in you. So how did you keep that fire within you and believing yourself, and did you just put the blinders on?
Well, I deleted everybody out of my cell phone to start with. So I had one number in there, and that was my wife. That was it. So everybody else that came up, caller unidentified, went right to voicemail and just deleted the voice. I didn't want to hear from anybody anymore. I literally went into like the witness protection program for positivity, because most people in your life, they're not there to intentionally sabotage your dream, but they're not going to help you. If you go run ideas by your family and your friends, just be prepared for complete and utter disappointment, because they don't get it. They don't understand it unless they're on the same level as you from an entrepreneurial journey, or this thing that you want to launch, this dream that you want to do. I mean, your family loves you. Your friends kind of do, maybe. I don't know what kind of friends you had. I didn't have a lot of positive friends at the time. I had a bunch of corporate drones, and it's called corporate America because most of the people are corpses, just dead. I mean, most people are dead at 25. It just takes 50 years to bury them, and that's most of the people I hung out with. So I didn't want to share with them where I was going. I didn't want to share with them my dream. I didn't want to talk to them about this everydaysaturday.com and everything that I wanted to build, because they were just going to be mopey-dopey about it. Like, what is it? Motivational speaker. What do you want to do? Go and do that. I didn't like Tony Robbins. Is that kind of what you're going to do? Infomercials? What are you going to do? So if I just wanted to stay positive and own the moment, and I knew I couldn't have negative people around me, so I just deleted everybody out of my cell phone. I didn't answer any emails ever. I'm talking for months, almost in my first year of doing this, because I didn't want to hear about it. So to keep the negative know-it-alls going nowhere outside of my perimeter, I just built kind of a mental block around my wall of my mind, and I just bombarded my mind with podcasts, for example, like this one, with audio, CDs at the time. I don't know if anybody even listens to CDs, but I listened to a lot of Les Brown, Bob Proctor, Dr. Dennis Waitley, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, just all the individuals who I wanted to emulate, people I wanted to model, and just share my story. It wasn't like I was coming into this thing wanting to reinvent the wheel. It's not like I had anything really, you know, exciting to talk about that nobody had said anything before. It was just my story. It was the Everyday Saturday story and how I was going to go about reinventing my life and reinventing myself, my body, my mind, my spirit, and just kind of how I did it, you know. And I wasn't even telling people that this was the right way or the only way. I'm just saying it's my story, you know, before I'm dead. I just want to share my story with it. If you like it, that's awesome. And if you don't, that's great. That's good too. No harm. I mean, there's 7 billion people on the planet. I'm sure I can find 10 of them that want to buy a CD from me. So that's the mindset I had. It wasn't anything, you know, like earth-shattering. And I think where people get really tripped up, Heidi, is they give people way too much of their energy, way too much of their time, way too much credit. They're like, oh, right, you know, my husband doesn't like my audios, or my wife doesn't like, well, that's great. I mean, I'm not telling you to get divorced. I'm just saying, why are you sharing that with somebody who isn't interested? Or, you know, a friend of mine, Bob Proctor tells a great story. The great Bob Proctor, in 1964, Bob was starting to make these audios of personal development. Now, we're talking about a titan in the personal development industry. I mean, you know, the guy is Bob freaking Proctor. And Bob was telling me a story back. I shared the stage with him in 2012, and he was telling me a story in the green room one time about a person, a friend of his, who he had brought these cassette tapes over in the 60s to stuff he was kind of talking about and wanted to share in personal development. He brought them up. He was really excited to share them with his best friend, his best friend, Heidi. And he shared them with this guy's like, oh, man, what's this stuff you're doing? Like, oh, ugh, yeah, I wouldn't buy it. Like, I wouldn't listen to it. I mean, it's Bob Proctor. feedback from people. So if he can have a friend call him a loser over stuff that he created, you're on the right track.
Right. That's awesome. And he kept going. And you kept going. You didn't listen. And I think, you know, we have that old saying of, like, CNN, constant negative news. And I think people don't often, you know, they're just taking in so much negative and they're forgetting to either completely shut that off or they're not taking in enough, replacing it with the positive. As you said, podcasts, whether they're CDs, all of the, there's so many ways to access positivity. Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. YouTube is an awesome resource. And I didn't even think of it as a resource, to be honest with you. I just got a tip from somebody who we were talking about meditation, and they said, yeah, you should go Google, you know, meditation with your, we're talking about meditating with our children. And they said, you just can be very specific, go in there and Google meditation for children, and boom, guided meditation. That's what it was. Guided meditation. It came right up. There was all these suggestions, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I didn't even think to use YouTube. I do. I listen to podcasts all the time in my car. I don't listen to the radio. Listen to podcasts. And every day of Saturday is one of my favorite podcasts. And
yep.
That's so exciting. It's really cool for me to hear from you that you had just – it wasn't – you didn't make it a big deal. You just did it. You carried around your laptop, and you just – when you had the inspiration – pull over, record it, upload it, boom, that's it. And I think so often we see people getting ready to get ready, right? To like everything, they're waiting for everything to be the perfect timing, the perfect moment, everything to be, the stars to be aligned, right? The perfect website. You know, did you have the perfect website when you launched?
Oh God, it was horrible. Well, not only was my website bad, my podcast was horrible. I mean, it was god awful. I wouldn't even listen. I wouldn't even let my dog listen to it.
And what was so just what was so awful about it? Was it the
it was just choppy. It was just like I'm trying to think of it. First of all, it had no intro, no extra, no rhyme or reason to it, no format. It was just me. I was talking into the speakers, the built-in speakers on my laptop, echoey. I was doing it in my kitchen, which was so cavernous because it leads into the great room. There's no walls. I mean, between our kitchen and our living area there, it's just one big room. It just sounded like I was doing it in a football stadium that was inside of a tin can. And then on top of that, I had no idea what the hell I was even saying. I was just excited. Imagine just like a guy or a girl just so excited and they just yell about nothingness, but you know they're excited about something. That's why I used to get a lot of feedback. Like, dude, I know you're excited about something. I don't know what the hell it is, but I'm in. If you can ever figure out what your message is about, that'd be pretty cool, you know? And
you got you a $25,000 gig, right?
Exactly. See, I'm all about that ready, fire, aim. I like launching products that, as you know, I mean, I'll launch an early bird product of a speaker training, podcast training, most recently the Everyday Saturday Academy, and I won't have the product. I won't have it created. I won't have it built because I want my audience. I want my mailing list. I want social media. I want them to tell me what it is that they want to see inside of there, and I'll pre-sell it, and I'll give them a big discount, typically like 50% of what it's going to sell for when it's finally created, and I'll kind of build it as I go. And the benefit to the listener or the person who purchases this product, the consumer, is that they're going to get it at a big discount, and they're going to get also some real cool bonuses, probably behind-the-scenes webinars, things like that. And in return, I'll get the cash flow up front to build out the platform. It's kind of a reverse engineer of it. And the bottom line is I do that a lot because I want to reward my list, on number one, for being loyal, and number two, I just want to get going. I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want to build it out and test it and tweak it and make sure everything's okay, because then it will never get done. I'll always be testing and tweaking. I'll just sell it, and then I'll fulfill it, because then I got to fulfill it, you know, unless I want 200 refunds, you know. So that's what I do a lot with my products, is I'll sell them first to my loyal listeners and my loyal subscribers, and then I'll just go fulfill it. Because that fits my personality of ready, fire, aim. Just let's go. Let's get it done, you know?
I love that. That's awesome. And you have so you're launching a new product right now. Is that correct? Isn't it in just a couple of days here?
It is. Yeah. No, it's going to go for our early bird purchasers that purchased it a few weeks ago. It's the Everyday Saturday Academy. It's really celebrating the 10-year anniversary of my business and everything that I've learned along the way. It's a lot of inspirational, motivational content, personal development, and inside of a members area, which it's 4 weeks of videos, and we're going to unlock week one tomorrow for the early bird subscribers, yeah, and then next week for everybody else.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and I can attest to I've been inside all of your early birds, and I mean, to me, they're no brainer because, as you said, you offer them at such a such a discounted rate to get in your pre-sale, and I've always known personally, I was gonna be a inspirational speaker on stage. I've always known I was gonna have a podcast. But for me, it's been a matter of the timing for it to be right. And it's like this was very intentional for me in terms of, like, I'll know when the timing's right. It wasn't a matter of I'm waiting. So the timing is right for me in my life right now. And initially it was, you know, everything was coming together for me, and I was pulling things together to do such. And, you know, then I had a curveball in my life when my son was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And I know you had, at that time in your life, we both were going through very similar experiences with our children in the hospital, right? And I mentioned that. Can you touch a little bit on that and how that has experience has affected you and your Everyday of Saturday journey?
It has. I mean, it's wild. You know, our daughter Susan was born at 1 pound in August of 2014, and that was the end of the journey as it, and also the beginning of a brand new journey. But it really started when Angela found out she was expecting in spring of that year. And we were excited, you know, but our youngest at the time was 9 years old. I mean, I'll be 48 years old at the end of June of this year, and Angela is a year younger than I am. So, you know, to be expecting at that age is not normal, I guess, in society now. I know there's more people now having children at that age, but it certainly wasn't in our plans. So, you know, we're like, hey, okay, well, gave away all of that stuff, gave away cribs and clothes and all of anything that even remotely resembled a baby was gone out of our life. And so we had no plans of having another one, and surprise, so here we are. And it was then all of a sudden turned to happiness. And then it turns to, you know, Angela having complications at 19 weeks and 20 weeks, and then she's on bed rest for the whole summer of that year. And we didn't do anything, no vacation. And look, there's a lot of people listening right now. They're like, dude, I'm not going to feel sorry for you not having a vacation. I mean, I can barely make my bills. And I get that. I'm just saying it's kind of like the whole summer was lost, you know, because what we were normally used to wasn't even remotely what it was like. And then Angela delivered at 24 weeks, and then here we go. And it was day to day, our baby. You know, we didn't know, you know, it's an 85% chance that she was going to have some sort of profound neurological disorder, whether that's cerebral palsy or something else. And she dodged those bullets, and then her eyes opened for the first time at 26 weeks. And so we had to, is she blind? Is she going to be able to see that? She passed that. And then she had these different degree brain bleeds, as they call them, and they healed up. And she had a hole in her heart that closed. And I mean, it's just crazy. Everything worked out just miraculously. And the one thing that didn't happen was her lungs didn't develop properly. So in December of that year of 2014, which was really her due date, her regular due date was December, she had a tracheostomy done, had a tracheostomy tube placed in her trachea, which is how she breathes now, through a trach tube. You and I breathe obviously through our nose and our mouth, but she can't get air into her lungs that way. So for the last, year and 4 or 5 months now, for the last 16 months, she's had a trach tube. And we just had a sleep study last night. Angela was in the hospital, children's hospital, all night with Susan, over overnight to measure her sleep and to see if she can start coming off the ventilator. That's how she breathes at night when she sleeps, is on a ventilator. And all of this, you know, what has it taught me? Obviously, you know, to be thankful for what we do have. That's a no-brainer. But also, on a more business-type level, with what I do, it's taught me I got a hell of a lot more time in my day than I ever thought I did. Because, you know, Heidi, when you're going to the hospital with your kid, you know, every single day, I know you were staying overnight with Joseph, but when you're there, going there every single day, originally you think, I don't even have time for my regular kids. I mean, I don't have time in my regular schedule, rather, for my other kids. And yet, how am I finding time to squeeze in time to be with my child? And for Susan, she was in the hospital 221 days, 221 days. And we were every day we were in the hospital. Angela was every single day. And I would go down 3 to 5, 6 times a week, depending on what the kids, other kids had going on, our 3 other kids. And we found the time. And you know what? We're almost 2 years now removed from the initial shock of having a baby at 24 weeks. That it would seem unusual doing it any other way. And so, I don't know. I mean, we honestly thought Susan was going to die. We just thought she would be dead in a couple of days, maybe even a couple of hours, because that's what the doctors would tell us. They'd say, doesn't look good. If she makes a few hours, great. If not, you know, we're sorry. I mean, there's nothing to say. And it sounds kind of almost cold, but there's really nothing to say. It's not like there's nothing you can say to a family that's going through. There just isn't. A lot of people try, you know. And sometimes that even makes it worse when people try to say the right thing or the perfect thing. It actually makes it worse because there's really nothing you can say except I'm praying for you or good luck or whatever, you know.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and through all that, you managed to – now, if you were in corporate, what would have happened with your job? Like, what? Who knows, right? Like, you're on, like, medical leave. Like, maybe you – like, I have a friend right now who's taken, like – medical leave to care for her mother, but she's not getting paid. So here you have your business. Were you able to continue operating your business?
I brought my laptop to Children's every day. And, you know, I would work from the waiting area because they're in the NICU where our daughter was in the neonatal ICU. There was a waiting area there. And a lot of the times Angela would go in with Susan, and where she is in the neonatal unit where the kids are in all the beds there, and I would stay out in the lobby where I could get the Wi-Fi access, plug in my computer, and I would work for 3 or 4 hours at a time. Now, obviously, I would go in and spend time with Susan and spend time with Angela, too, my wife, but a lot of the times, or they would say, hey, you can just bring your laptop into the NICU, so I would do that, you know, and just bring it into there. So, it's amazing having this type of mobile lifestyle. It really is, because had I had to have a job, I mean, first of all, a job with any kind of responsibility, my boss would have been, hey, well, you know, we're thinking of you. We'll pray for you. But buddy, you got to go. I mean, you're called your liability now, you know. And my medical insurance would have, you know, paid me jumping through these different hoops, and I wouldn't have been able to take any time off and all this stuff. Just so much happens when you, again, going back to our very first part of this interview, when you don't have control, Heidi, you give up so much to whether it's your employer, your insurance company, whoever it is, you don't have control. And if Angela needed me to come down at noon, I'd come down at noon. If she needed me there at 6 at night, I'd go. There was no time that I could not be there. It's just, I scheduled my everyday Saturday, you know, entrepreneurial business around all of that because I have no boss. I've got to make sales. I've got to sell. I mean, I'm like you. I got to pay bills. But I had control, and I think that's what most people, if they really were honest, Heidi, they would say, you know, I get it. I don't have control, but I want it. How do I get it? And it starts with just making the decision, saying you can have whatever it is you want to have. It must begin with a vision. And it must begin with a decision. And that's it. Anything else, you can't have anything else without those two things. You've got to visualize, and then you'll have it in your hand. You will eventually hold in your hand what you can visualize and conceive in your mind, but you must create that vision. And then you must make a decision. And then you must take some sort of focused action step, as little as it might be, in buying a laptop, getting better Wi-Fi in your home, signing up for GoToWebinar, getting a Google, getting a Gmail, getting a Facebook account, a Twitter account, LinkedIn, YouTube, whatever it is. You must take just the smallest
action step towards that vision that you're holding after you've made that decision. And those are really the three critical components to when life happens to you, like it did to you, Heidi, like it did to me, and like it is to every single human being on the planet. When life happens to you that way, you're a little better prepared for it because you've got control. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Vision, decision, focused action steps. I'm taking notes, Sam.
Even small. Because people are like, well, I got to take action. I got to build, I got to make a product. No, no, that's not even it. That's not, I mean, the product, yeah, you can create a product. That's fine. But if you don't have the mental brain muscle, muscle memory of actually doing something, your subconscious, your body, your everything that moves in unison, it won't be prepared. It's not like people go run a marathon and they go buy a pair of sneakers and they go run. They walk first and then they run a mile and then they'll run a mile and a half. And then, you know, they might plateau at a mile and a half for 2 weeks, but then they'll run 3 miles, you know, and that's just your body adjusting to the new you. And my question to everybody listening is, what does the new you even, do you even know what the new you looks like? Do you even give yourself permission to dream that big? Or do you settle like most people do and say, I can't do that, therefore there's no need for me to train for that. I can't run a marathon because I'm 300 pounds and I got bad knees. Well, you can. It's just that you're not allowing yourself even the permission to even visualize that. Therefore, the decision and the small action of going to buy a good $150 pair of sneakers and going for an hour walk and then turning into a light jog and then preparing yourself, getting the tools that you need, it's the same in business. You know, I gave myself permission to dream big, to speak in front of 1,000 people and make good money doing it. And, you know, Heidi, this month alone, I'm speaking in Vancouver, Orlando, and then I'm in New York, and then I'm in London. You know, all of this as a result of when that time you and I were talking about in Hawaii, you know, just being ready to take it on.
That's awesome. Sam, I want to take a quick break and just invite any listeners to call in, ask Sam or myself questions if you have any comments. The number to call in is 646-716-7979. And I also want to just take a moment, you know, anyone that has any interest in continuing to follow Sam, you can find him at everydayissaturday.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Sam, everydayissaturday.com, right? Okay. And in his podcast, you can find that on iTunes also as Every Day is Saturday.
That's right.
Awesome. So with this, what you talked about, you know, taking some focused action steps, and you threw out there some different things. Are those types of steps that you help people with, and that you teach inside the academy that you have coming out?
It is. It's exactly what I'm teaching because, you know, it's the concepts. Life, I'm telling you, Heidi, I mean, life's an inside job. It's got to start with those 6 inches between your ears, because if not, anything, it doesn't matter, you know, skill sets, that's great. If you're really talented doing something, that's great. But if you're not even inspired to do it every single day, you're not motivated to do it, if that's not your purpose in life, that's not your passion, then you're going to flame out like most people do. You're going to eventually lose interest in doing it. If you make it a career, and you make it your passion, you know, the success you're going to have is going to be immense. And that's not even money. I mean, money always finds individuals that are passionate and purposeful about what they do. It's more about just having this sense of fulfillment, because success without fulfillment is failure. There's no other way to describe it. So once you have fulfillment in what you're doing, and then, you know, your passion is full, your purpose is full, you're connecting with great people, like-minded individuals, that's what I teach inside the Everyday Saturday Academy, is a lot of that. The negative self-talk, how to get rid of that, how to find your passion and your purpose, how to model other individuals. You know, success leaves clues, Heidi. You know, I mean, finding individuals, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't got to do something right now that, you know, has never been done before. You just need to be inspired and follow individuals, you know. Achieve success by modeling someone and then ask people that can help you. You realize that their time's valuable. They might charge you, but, boy, they're going to cut the learning curve
down dramatically versus you going and trying to figure it out yourself. And then go, you know, the people that succeed, they're not lucky. They have a strategy that really works for them and it'll work for you. So go do the same thing they're doing, you know. But, so those are the types of things that in the video training I teach is all about that.
Awesome. Awesome. So it is a lot of mentality and mindset. And do you go into how people can make every day Saturday, like the steps they need to take with websites and all the technical stuff as well?
Yeah, sure. Although I show them a lot of the resources that I use, I don't dive deep into the weeds relative to, you know, step by step, because there's people, like I said, success leaves clues. For example, if there's an individual who's already building out a landing page, a website, integrating their e-commerce account with it, and taking orders and making money, let them. I'll give you the link and show you what to do, and I give them the highest recommendation. Go do it. If it's
right.
Something I do every day, for example, like podcasting, then, yeah, I'll just teach it myself. So it's a mix of internet marketing skills of what I do with my business every day, just keeping it very, very simple, and then showing you where to go if you want to really, you know, go crazy with Facebook ads and monetize that, any type of social media. And I've got resources for that. Here you go. Just follow this person.
So you're the resource guy, directing people. That's good. In taking all of your 10 years of experience and culmination of all of that you've pulled together and sharing that. So it's the best of everything that you got, it sounds like.
You know, it is. And there's, you can make a lot of money being a news reporter, Heidi. You know, I mean, it's not like you got to have all the answers. If you simply can point people in the direction they need to go, that's good enough. I mean, think about affiliate marketers. Think about people who sell other people's products. They're like, hey, I've got a great solution to fill in the blank. It's not my solution, but I'm promoting this person's product, so here you go, and I'll gladly take 50% of what they're selling as their affiliate. You know, if you can just be the reporter, people that have blogs, review blogs, you know, anything like that, you don't have
like
to have
Oprah.
The answers. Exactly.
Right?
You know,
Oprah's not the expert in everything. She,
nope.
She brings the experts on her show and on her blog and everything else she has going on and on her network and shares their expertise.
Exactly.
And in turn,
exactly.
She's learning from them as she's you know, side by side with them, which is an awesome place to be. And
yep.
Speaking side by side, so I, you know, one thing I learned about you, Sam, is you're pretty humble. You know, you dropped in there that you've shared the stage with Bob Proctor. Bob Proctor is a pretty big deal, and so that must, you know, that's a pretty big deal to be, you know, sharing the stage with the likes of Bob Proctor. I also read somewhere, and I can't remember where, probably something of something that you had written at some point, but is it true that you were contacted by Tony Robbins Group and asked to train their trainers?
Yeah, their coaches. Yeah, that was last year. Actually, last year, right around this time, Tony Robbins, I forget her name, Brenda, really nice lady. Tony Robbins, executive VP of their international, Mary Glorfield is where I'm going with this. Mary's a really good friend of mine. She was Tony's executive VP for 19 years, and they still are really good friends, talk on the phone all the time. And Mary hires me to speak on these different stages around the world. So Mary, whenever she gets a request for a speaker, I'm at the top of her list only because high customer satisfaction ratings and, you know, I deliver. I always want to be known as the guy that over-delivers. So Mary got a hold of this lady, Brenda, said, hey, you got to have Sam Crowley train these speakers of Tony's, these trainers, on podcasting, you know, how to get their message out, how to monetize their message. So there's less than, I think, 150 of these Tony Robbins coaches worldwide, and they're all required to be on this monthly training, and that was the one I was hosting last year at this time for them, exclusively training them on the topic of podcasting and how to get your message out there using what we're doing right now. And it was awesome. I mean, they were the best group of people. They were so, like, into it. And just, I mean, think about it. They're trained by Tony, right? So, I mean, these people are just absorbing all the content – And that's happened a few times. I mean, right after that was funny. After I did that training for them, I flew to L.A. and spoke with Robert Kiyosaki, you know, Rich Dad, on a stage in L.A. out there. And then
in Vancouver
in a couple of weeks, I'm speaking with Les Brown, who I've shared a stage with a few times as well. He's a really great guy. And I look back and shared a stage with Dr. John Maxwell and people like that. And it's amazing what happens when you just stay in the game, Heidi, you know, when you just stick around. And it's funny you call me humble. My wife would be rolling her eyes right now because she's like the, you are like the self-promoting machine. It's crazy. But I don't jump up and down at the thought, you know, I do. Let me put it to you this way. The only reason I say, you know, I shared a stage with Bob more than one time. I've had him on my podcast more than one time. But when I was in that environment, I mean, I was awestruck. When I met Robert Kiyosaki for the first time last year, when I was at that event with him in L.A., we were in the green room together. And I went up to him, and I was nervous. I was like, oh, my God. Because a book or a song or something like that has the ability to take you right back to a moment in time. You know, you hear a song and you remember, oh, 1984, 1995. Well, the very first book I really read on entrepreneurship was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that was in the 2002. And it had such a profound impact on my life. And I never realized that I could. I was 35 years old, 32 years old, whatever it was at the time. And I never realized that I could just start right now and do something different with my life. And it happened to be real estate. I was interested in being a real estate investor. So I read that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And fast forward now, it's 2015, and I'm in L.A., and Robert Kiyosaki walks into the room. I'm like, oh. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm getting out of here. And I went up to him, and I said, hey, Robert, Sam Crowley, I just want to let you know you changed my life. And now he gets that 8,000 times a day, I'm sure. But it felt good for me to say that, and I was in awe. I mean, I was just like, for me to be speechless is like, you know, forget it. Like, rain's going to start going upwards, but I can't talk anymore, you know. And so it was good. He shook my hand. We took a photo real quick, and he moved on. But I was like, oh, man, it's Robert Kiyosaki. That's all. And that's happened a bunch. It happened with Les Brown when I first spoke with him. It happened with Bob Proctor when I first spoke with him. And it's just been a joy to be able to be on this journey, because I see people living through me and my experiences, and it empowers them. And I know what they're thinking, like, wow, that dumbass, like 20 college credits, that guy can go make a living. Jesus, I can do it. This guy, and I love it. That's what I tell people. If I'm out there doing this thing, I don't know what your excuse is, but it can't be very good, because I don't have a flipping clue what I'm doing, and it's a great time. You ought to jump in, man. The water is fine, you know, and I think – it inspires people to go after their dream, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely inspire people. Listen, I have a caller coming in, 617 number, which is a Boston number. I think I might know who it is. Hold on here. Boston. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Who do we have on the air?
Hey, Victoria Haffer here. Hey, Heidi. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Victoria.
Hey, Victoria. I feel like I know you so well. Hey, Heidi, you guys are doing awesome. I feel like I know you so well, Sam, through Heidi. Heidi is a huge fan of yours and introduced me to you, a while back. And I actually went through your podcast course in the day when having my own podcast show was just a dream.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember. Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it was a while back. Sure. And so now I have launched Inspired Rebel Radio. But I have a question for you, Sam, and it's off the topic of business. I was wondering, what is on your bucket list that is not work-related?
Ooh, man. That is a
That's right. I'm putting you on the spot there, buddy. Yep.
Wow, you did. Jeez Louise.
Get on the channel, Victoria.
Woohoo!
Victoria drops the mic, leaves, and leaves me speechless. That's it. You know what's funny?
Sam, if I get you on my show, I'm going to make you cry.
Okay, I'm up for it. Why? Are we going to watch a Lifetime movie or something, or what? Because that's about the only thing that gets me to cry.
That's right.
How sad at it that. I'm not dodging your question, Victoria. I get back to it. Literally,
all right. It's all right. I'm waiting. We still have 10 minutes remaining, Sam, and I'll wait it out.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I'm gonna start singing "New Kids on the Block" or something.
You know, that's funny. You know how Facebook comes on this day? You know, four years ago, I was at the New Edition concert in Toledo, and I'd never seen them in my life. And I'm telling you, number one, I was the only white guy there. And number two, it was the most amazing concert that I'd ever been on in my entire life, man. It was – I went by myself. This is another thing when my kids just called me a loser, which is fine. I had no problem with that. But I drove to Toledo 4 hours from Cincinnati by myself to a New Edition concert and had the – greatest time of my life, man. It was amazing. Because, like I said, a song takes you back, you know, to the mid-80s.
That's right.
But anyway, I digress.
I would have gone, Sam. New Edition was one of my favorites. And, you know, of course,
yeah.
They're from Boston, and I'm from Boston here, so. Yep.
Yes.
Anyway, all right, going back to Victoria's question, the bucket list.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, the bucket list. Holy cow. There's a bunch of stuff I haven't tried because I'm not like, you know, I'm not this exotic world traveler, for example. So, and I think it's kind of lame to say I visit a bunch of countries, though, because that would be kind of a cop-out. You know what was on a bucket list? And I'm going to tell you, I did it, and I didn't even know it was on my bucket list, but seeing Paul McCartney in concert last year. That was.
Oh, man. Yep.
That was the bucket list. I was sitting 10th row at a concert and just hearing him play all his Beatles songs and everything from Wings stuff. That was a big, big bucket list thing of mine. You know, here it is. This is a true story, as most of mine are. Here's the true bucket list.
Most of them are.
Most of the ones I talked about today are, for sure, Heidi. So I would not edit this show. I'd let it rip. People can think about which one's true or not. But, meeting and sharing the stage with Tony Robbins would be a bucket list item.
That's my bucket list too, Sam. Oh my God,
yep.
That's so cool. We share a bucket list item. That's awesome.
We share a bucket
All right.
list item. That's awesome.
We're sharing. I feel so close to you right now. It's like crazy.
Yes. Besties.
That's an
awesome.
Awesome vision.
Yes.
All right, I love it. I'm gonna hold space for that for both of us right there. Bam. Right in the womb.
And I'm on the other stage with them. We get three here. Sam, you're gonna make that happen.
God.
And then Victoria and I are gonna make it happen. Heck, maybe I'll be on the same stage together.
That's right.
We're all really, you know, 1 degree separated from that side. I mean, like I said, I know Mary Glorfield. She's been friends with Tony for 20 years, 25 years. I mean, literally, I'm sure that I could at least meet him through Mary. That much I know. But it would be so much more awesome to actually be on stage at an event with Tony, you know, firing the audience up. So, yeah, that's a big bucket list item.
All right. So I have one more question, Sam.
Yep.
So because the question was bucket list non-business related, right?
Yeah.
And clearly that is business related with Tony. But what aside from what you do, because clearly we know that you're on fire on podcast and sharing and teaching and inspiring, but what aside from all that makes your heart sing? Aside from you're going to say your family, but that could be it. Okay, I'll let you go from there. So what makes your heart sing? Aside from work stuff.
You know what I want to get back to is when Susan gets off her trach and she and Madeline, God, I can't believe my oldest will be in college. I want to think about my kid in college. I can't handle a 15-year-old daughter. That's my kryptonite. I can't even, like, she walks through the, like, there's nothing. I could be at the zoo, the Cincinnati Zoo, and get thrown into the cage with the lion that has not eaten in 8 months. And be less scared than I am when my 15-year-old comes home from school. But with that being said, I want to get back to golfing. I haven't played golf in probably 10 years since I started this journey.
Yes.
And I gave it up
awesome.
Because, you know, I just haven't had time. You don't have. How am I going to golf with four kids? Seriously. You don't. I mean, the weekends are taken. During the week, I got to get stuff done. The kids are home from school, so
no excuses, no excuses. Rent.
Yeah.
Let's get you golfing, Sam. Come on.
Yeah, I'm using it. I'm using it though, and so I'm so using that a few. So I'm gonna use that.
Yeah, golf is so. I mean, it's not like you just go out and play a game. It's of hoops or it's a long day, and you don't just like show up at the course and play and you're done. It's there's a little bit of socializing that goes on before and after, and it's a long day. So maybe start off with the nine holes, Sam.
I can't play nine.
Right?
I can't play nine. That's another thing you probably didn't know about me because nobody knows that.
All or nothing?
Now
we all know. Now the whole world
Everybody
knows
I cannot play nine holes. A buddy of mine tried that crap a while back. Like I went to see him in Hershey, PA, where he lived. And he's like, hey, let's play nine, and then we'll play like 11 and four. I'm like, no, dude. No, it's 18, or I'm not even coming to your house.
Can't play. Go big or don't go at all. Nothing.
Exactly.
Nice.
So,
all right.
Sam, you're awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Always great
to
have
you.
Yeah,
talk to you guys later. Ciao, ciao. Have the best day ever.
She's awesome. All right, Sam, this has been awesome. I so appreciate you coming on the show, having you here. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. It said, it said there was somebody else must have called in and the call was dropped. So, I really, really appreciate your time coming in and sharing your story, your passion, your tips, your energy with our listeners here on the Diet Rich Life. And I want to remind everybody that if they want to find Sam, they can go to everydayofsaturday.com, and they can also find him on the Everyday of Saturday podcast on iTunes. And that is, again, he's been on the air for 10 years. So
10 years
in celebrating. Awesome. And myself here, you can find me on the dietrichlife.com, and any replays you can find at the dietrichlife.live. So I appreciate everyone listening in, and share this with your friends. Always can find the rebroadcast, like I said, on the dietrichlife.live. And until next time, make it a great day. Make it a rich life of health, wealth, love, and happiness. We're over and out. Sam, thanks again. You make it a great day. And all the best to Angela.
My pleasure. Thanks, Heidi. It's great being with you.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.